So hi, welcome to Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
Happy Monday.
It is.
Yeah. This officially starts the Christmas portion of the Good Noise Podcast. Thanksgiving's on Thursday, but jingle Merry Christmas, bells, everybody. Jingle. Happy holidays. Yeah.
I love Christmas and my tree isn't lit up, but
it's okay.
You know, it usually is.
Yeah. We go hard for Christmas.
We do. Big fans.
Yeah, you know. Even did festivals around Christmas. Not anymore.
Don't remind me. No.
sorry, no last week podcast. Glory was living her best life in LA.
I was in LA.
Come out to LA. Come out to LA.
You know that shit.
I know that shit. I love that song.
That's amazing. Well, we never talk about Don Broco, which is funny because you love technology, the album. You liked Amazing Things, but like you were like, no, technology is where it's at. And now I'm obsessed with technology and we don't talk about it. I talk about Don Broco and you're just like, I remember you're a fan.
They're fine. I mean, I like seeing them live. I don't think I've really listened to them much. I mean, they have a good live show and I like the songs they play live because I've listened to the live set lists because I've seen them a couple times, but the band's good. It's about all I have to say. It's just funny when it's just funny when you go in the group chat and you're like, guys, you'll never guess what I'm watching right now, and we're like, oh, Glory, is it a Charlie Brown Christmas? And she's like, no, try again. And I'm like, is it National Lampoon's? I don't know. I don't know.
That is my favorite Christmas movie.
I'm like, I don't know. Christmas Story? I don't know. She's been in Christmas mood since August. And she's like, no, guys, you're all stupid. It's Don Broco music videos.
It's the pretty music video again.
I've had it on loop for the past 5 hours.
Yo, there was a time where I was literally only watching the Gum Shield music video. I just right clicked and I just fucking let it loop. And I was just watching it. I just sat there. I just watched it. It's fucking awesome. I love it. He gets fucking sucker punched so hard that he goes into another dimension. It's actually awesome.
You could probably recreate the music video if you tried hard enough.
Oh my god. From memory. I literally could. The pretty music video, I got that shit down.
Number one Don Broco fan right here. Glory.
Yep. I'm really low-key about it, though.
Yeah, no, you're not loud about it at all. I had no idea up until about 5 minutes ago when you were telling me about them. You didn't tell me that we could schedule an interview between New Year's and Christmas, or Christmas and New Year's, if it was Don Broco. You didn't tell me that.
You'd say the same thing if it was Limp Bizkit.
Fred Durst, bang my line.
Freddie D.
Yeah. Went to a couple of shows over this break. Wednesday the 8th, I saw TX2.
The 8th?
Yeah. Wednesday.
Damn.
Wednesday
that
the
8th.
It was that long ago. It's when we recorded the special Wednesday edition of the podcast.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I didn't know I was going to the TX2 show at that time.
it was a real spur of the moment thing.
His show got moved from House of Independence, RIP House of Independence. That venue closed due to flood damage and unfortunately is not reopening. It got moved to this venue, Musicians Workshop, that actually my boss and I throw shows at occasionally. We obviously didn't host this one. This was booked by House of Independence. But it was Wave Break was the local opener, Kid Baron, which, do you know the show The Thundermans?
Never watched it.
One of the dudes in that show is the front man of Kid Baron.
Is he like the son?
I think he was one of the evil dudes.
Yeah, I've seen the family picture, but it's like I was past my time.
As soon as someone goes, that dude was in a Nick show, I looked him up and I was like, holy fuck, he's in the Thundermans. Like, wow.
Are you a big Thundermans fan?
Big Thundermans guy. And then obviously the headliner was TX2. Was good to finally see Wave Break. We've known them for a very long time now.
4 years,
And I hadn't seen them live yet, so that was fun. They put on a good show. Chris from Highwind was filling in on guitar, so it was good to see him. I haven't seen him in a minute.
You guys literally live like 5 minutes from each other. No, that's actually insane.
It's a little bit further than 5 minutes, but I haven't seen him in a minute. Probably since he played the Foxy, the I'm Really Show at Musicians Workshop. So
that was like 2 years ago, and now, right?
It was earlier this year, April.
Oh my God, sorry. My brain is still thinking of fucking
you're,
Tight.
You're thinking of Tight.
Yeah, that's what, holy shit. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Okay, glad it was earlier this year. Fucking love
yeah,
Foxy.
Yeah, and then Kid Baron was an interesting band, an interesting... interesting, for sure. I wasn't a huge fan. It was...
I know when you use the word interesting.
Yeah, it was not my cup of tea. And the crowd didn't seem super into it either. It's just not the kind of band that I thought the TX2 would bring on tour.
Were they like the same genre at least?
Not really. Like I figured, it was probably going to be another TikTok artist, which Kid Baron really isn't. Someone that's popping off online. But it was just like not even close in genre either. Like I figured someone a little bit heavier, someone that like carried more of the same message in their music would be on tour, and that wasn't what was there. It was just fucking music, man.
Mm. What genre?
It was just like
noise.
Pop punk, pop punk, you know, it was just riffs, man, and it was fine. Seeing TX2 live, man, I've had quite the journey with him in the past several months. I've really come around. You know, obviously I was along with most of the internet that was like, wow, this is cringe, this is stupid. And then we had him on the podcast, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't like just some cringe industry plant bullshit, and like what he's talking about and posting about on social media he stands for. And then and I was like, wait, some of the music slaps. And then I saw him live, and I have unironically been listening to all of his stuff since then.
Good. Because that guy's awesome.
Like the fucking he's an awesome dude. Our interview with him's out, by the way, chatting about the new EP.
It was very good.
Yes. And so chatting with him, I was like, holy fuck. And then seeing him live, he puts on such a great live performance. There's so much energy, and you know, his songs just really translate super well live. And I was just like, holy fuck, like Heaven Was Full. What a fucking chorus on that song. If you haven't listened to that one yet, you totally should. What a fucking chorus, man. That's been the one on repeat. I checked my last FM today, and it said that's been my top track.
Your top track.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's fucking awesome. So, I love when bands go from, I like them, to I can't fucking stop listening to them after a live show.
Well,
so that's
the craziest thing was, I was along with everybody else earlier this year when that TikTok blew up, the 5-4 Manhor one, that was like, this is stupid. Yep. This is cringe.
It's cringe.
What is happening? And in the span of a couple months, I'm like defending this fucking guy against everybody. I'm like,
with my fucking life, dude.
Like, this guy's fucking great. Like, you guys all just don't see it yet. Like,
exactly.
Wait, what? Just watch.
You don't fucking get it yet. You gotta fucking, dude. Sitting down with him for like, it was like 45 minutes or something.
It was
35,
almost an hour.
40, almost an hour. Goddamn. Sitting down with him for however long, almost an hour, really changed. The second he joined, I was like, wait a minute, this guy's kind of awesome, because he was just sweet, like, through and through, and he was chill as fuck. Mm-hmm. So I was like, now why is everyone attacking you?
I don't get the
hate.
What did
you do?
I don't get the hate anymore.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't fucking get it.
Yeah. And then this past Friday, I saw Hot Mulligan, Heart Attack Man, Spanish Love Songs, and Ben Quad at the Fillmore, sold out in Philly. Ben Quad, I was scrolling through a list from like 2020 where we took suggestions for people to have on the new year, and Ben Quad was one of those bands on the list that someone suggested. And obviously we never had Ben Quad on the podcast, but I was just like, holy fuck, like we've been following this band for a while, and it's crazy to see them supporting a tour like that. They've really blown up in the past year or so. So they were good. Spanish Love Songs. I fucking love that band.
It's fucking Spanish Love Songs.
Well, what a great fucking band. Awesome to see them. Heart Attack Man, absolutely insane to see Heart Attack Man as direct that. Support on a bill like that in venues like that.
Yeah. How it looked like a huge fucking venue. What was that, like 5,000 cap?
No, they said there were 2,600 people there last Friday night.
Damn.
Because it's like 2,000 to the floor, and then they have seating up on the top.
That's huge for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was crazy to see Heart Attack Man, direct support, show like that, venue like that. Put on a great show as always. The songs off the new record come off heavier live than they did on the record.
Really?
Yeah. So that was cool, because I was interested to see how those were going to translate, because the record is definitely a shift from previous stuff, and we talked about that in the interview we did with them. But they translate heavier live, because they're obviously still playing older stuff as well. And then Hot Mulligan came out. Goddamn, that band is fucking awesome live. I can't even lie.
Yeah.
They put on one hell of a show. And first time seeing them headline, or just like in a venue that wasn't Sad Summer. I was looking back at my show history, and the past two times I've seen them, past three, were Sad Summer. So it was cool to see them. Because I missed that headliner in, what was it, 2021, 2022? I don't know.
It was 21, I think. Yeah.
So very fucking cool. Crazy to think that if the tour happened in winter of 2020, when it got rescheduled, like late fall, early winter, I would have saw them in a 100 cap brewery in Asbury Park. And Friday night, I saw them in a 2,000 cap room.
100 cap.
Yeah, 100 cap brewery.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, that obviously didn't happen. They wound up just canceling the tour after that, and they were like, we're going to do this later. Like, we've already rescheduled this twice. They were like the one band that announced the tour right before the pandemic, and then they just kept postponing it. Like, they just kept announcing the dates.
They just kept re-announcing it. We're back!
And eventually they were just like, yeah, we're gonna do this one later. Like, take your money back.
We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, we'll see you guys when it's safe now. So that was crazy. And then Saturday night, I saw Slaughter Beach Dog. That was with, I'm pulling up the support now.
No worries.
Bonnie Dune. Dune? Okay. D-O-O-N.
Yeah. Dune.
Yeah, Bonnie Dune and Aaron Ray. A night of indie music. Not necessarily my cup of tea. Aaron Ray was fine. She was on tour with them because she did a lot of backing vocals on their new record, Slaughter Beach Dog's new record. So she was on stage with them for all of their new songs, doing the backing vocals live, which was certainly cool. Bonnie Dune was cool as well. My problem with the indie shows is it's very much about the music and not so much about the performance. And when I see a live show, I want both. So basically what I'm getting at is all of the artists' music were fine. Not my cup of tea, but I enjoy it. But I'm left wanting more from the performance, because it is just like everybody standing there riffing. And it's like they're all great players. They're all great musicians. But the like Hot Mulligan and Slaughter Beach Dog live are two completely different bands. You know, I saw two completely different shows on the same stage.
Yeah.
A night apart. Like,
no one's two-stepping to Slaughter Beach Dog.
No. And Slaughter Beach Dog, again, music is good. Performance leaves me wanting more. My only complaint is around 11 o'clock, I start to get hungry. I ate dinner 6 hours ago. Now I'm starting to get a little hungry. I'm looking forward to my midnight snack Burger King here. Show keeps going past 11 o'clock, and I'm like, come on. And we're not even at the encore yet. We're not even at the encore yet.
Did they start late?
No. The show was scheduled to start at 8. Sam and I looked at the set list from the night before. They ended at 11:20, show starting at the same time as ours. So I already knew, but I was hoping, I was praying that something went wrong with the New York City show, and that's why. Now, the most painful part of the fact that the show went past 11 o'clock is that they then proceeded to play every single song that had a 5-minute long guitar solo at the end of the set. So by 11:15, and we're still not at the encore here.
No.
I was about ready to walk the fuck out. like we're talking like 11:10, 11:15, they finally walk off stage. And then I'm like, God, I hope they forget the encore tonight, because my tummy is rumbling at this point. I am so hungry. I'm like,
taking the fucking menu.
Yeah, I'm like, Burger King, please.
Yeah.
They come back out. I'm like, oh my fucking God.
Who told them?
Now, normally they play 3 songs for their encore, but they knew I was in the crowd. So why not play 4?
Oh, wow. They had
And even better, for the 3rd song, why not make it seem like it's the big crescendo, and then let's just go into another song?
They said, but wait, there's more.
I thought I was in hell. I seriously thought I was never going to leave, because it's not just that the song ended and then the next song started. It was that every single song, and it might have just been that I was really hungry by that point, felt like they'd had a 5-minute long guitar solo, and they weren't doing that. No, I felt like I was seeing Bruce Springsteen again.
Oh, brother.
Like, I seriously thought, because at one point, like, I was vibing. Like, I'm like, this is fucking chill, man. Like, I'm in the indie mood, you know?
Yeah.
And
then it hit 11:20.
And then it hit 11 o'clock. And I was like, all right. Like, I don't even think that, like, bands that I wanted to see, like, I'm there to see. If they play past 11 o'clock, that's it. Like,
I'm clocked out.
Yeah, like, I've actually walked out of shows before because the Burger King by the venue was going to close, and I'm not missing my fucking Burger King.
Yeah. Like, what is it? Trump's fucking... Yeah.
Whatever band is on stage. So, show finally ended at 11:30. I did think I was in hell there for a second, because they did play every single song with a guitar solo at the end of the set. But the hour and a half leading up to 11 o'clock mark, where everything felt like I was in a perpetual loop of this is never going to end and I'm going to die here, was good. I just think that the welcome was overstayed a little bit. You know, because they did play for almost 2 hours, and again, I don't even know if I could see Korn or Motionless in White or Limp Bizkit or Slipknot play for 2 hours.
Damn, those are your fucking favorite bands of all time. You're like, I don't know, they're pushing it when it hits like 1:30, man.
They're pushing it when we get close to 2 hours, you know? Like, put an intermission in there. Like, at least the Jonas Brothers, they're doing like 3 hours, but they put a nice 15-minute intermission in there. Like,
so people can walk around, stretch their legs, not die.
Yeah.
Damn. So it sounds like you had a great time with that.
I had a great time, yeah. But again, the music's not bad. Again, stage performance, I want more, but it's obviously not that genre. Just like, I'm at the point where, like, the show, every single show I got to go to, it's got to end at 11, unless it's a 21 plus show that starts later, because sometimes those have later curfews. But I know that going in.
Exactly.
Because if the start time for a show is 10 and there's 3 bands, I know I'm not getting out of there at 11.
Well, first of all, you wouldn't be there in the first place. You'd see that it starts at 10, and you'd be like, you know what?
No, we had Brick and Mortar when they had AP2 out on the road. My boss and I went, and it was at a 21 plus venue, and it started like late because they could get away with like a 12 or a 12:30 curfew because it's a bar. So, let's keep the curfews to 11. I'm getting old.
Yeah. Cap it at 11, guys. That's what everyone wants. So I went to a festival. I didn't go to 3 shows. I just went to 1 festival. I went to Camp Flognaw. Day 1 was, Biba Doobie. We'll comment on that later. Biba Doobie and... You can tell I loved everyone that I saw that day. from just memory. Tyler, obviously, Kendrick Lamar, Baby Keem. Damn, nothing's loading right now. Turnstile, Kali Uchis, Tyler, and the Hillbillies, which is, you know, Kendrick Lamar and Baby Keem. Biba Doobie left a lot to be fulfilled. There was like, she sounded great, and it was a nice little performance. But why the fuck is Don Broco playing? I don't know if you heard that.
Wow.
Fucking jump scare. My head fucking whipped over. Fuck. So Biba Doobie was you know, it was sounded good, but again, it's kind of that indie vibe where it's just like there's a lot that's, you know, you're kind of just standing there. And you're like, you know, you can look around a little bit. Turnstile was interesting. I was in the pit for Turnstile because I was like, you know what? No, fuck it. I'm getting Barricade for Tyler. And then I got gut punched in the Turnstile pit because these people don't know how to fucking mosh. They just hit people. It's not even an opening. I'm just standing here. It's wedged and someone's and I almost throw up. I get, you know, those burps where you're like, oh, shit's about to go down. And I started getting like hella claustrophobic. So I was like, I will throw up on everyone in my surrounding area if I do not leave the pit in the next like 5 minutes.
May I just say that the photo of you and your father in the Turnstile pit is hilarious and one of my favorite images I saw that weekend.
Thank you. I took the picture and I was so fucking happy with how it came out because you could see his just like,
he looks terrified.
Because he was worried about me. Because he's like, dude, are you good? And I'm like, I'm fine. And I'm like, no, I need to get the fuck out of here. He was having a great time. Like, he fucking loved the pit. But it was me who called it because I was like, I will actually throw up if I don't leave. I fucking love that picture as well. So we lasted like maybe 8 songs. Their set list was long as fuck. It just felt like it just kept going. Maybe it was because I was literally dying, packed in like sardines. I couldn't put my arms to my sides. I literally just had to have my arms above me the entire time. And then even more people pushed up. It was just not fun. Turnstile, stage presence is good. I just don't know what he's saying half the time. That was literally him for like 45 minutes. So I left the pit. And watched the last like 3 songs on the screen because I was like, you know, I was from a safe distance. I'm not gonna get gut punched over here. Mm-hmm. Kali Uchis comes on. She does great. Again, I feel like she usually dances more. In just the other times that I've seen videos of her perform, I didn't get to see her at Buku last year, but I saw videos of it. She was just kind of like sitting the entire time, and I was like, come on, man, do something, please. She sounded great. There were a lot of technical difficulties at Camp Flogna for whatever reason. There was a time when the when the screens went out completely.
Don't
we're
need
like,
those.
Oh, I was like, no, they do a little bit when it's 50,000 people watching a show. Maybe not all of them can see the stage. The screens went out multiple times that night, but they went out during Kali's, and it's so fucking funny because then you could see a cursor pop up on the screen and it's like the Windows like background, like the traditional like fucking grassy field Windows, and I'm like, who the fuck is running all of this
on Windows
on a
98
laptop?
On a Windows 98 laptop, bro. Who's got Windows XP over there?
Looking around, I'm like, is anyone else fucking seeing this right now? It's not a part of her show. It's not. And then it just pops back up with the fucking camera. You could see the fucking tab open back up, and I'm like, there's no fucking way. And then she's like, guys, I'm sorry if my notes have been off all night. I haven't been able to hear in my in ear this entire time. I've just been kind of winging it, so I'm sorry if it sounds a little off. And I'm like, what the fuck? You could see, like, every 5 minutes, she'd fucking tap her ear, and she'd be like, I can't hear anything. So they kind of dropped the ball with her. And then I saw Tyler, the Creator. Legend. Shit set list. I'm very upset over that, Tyler. How you cut off my face. You know I'm there. You cut off my favorite song halfway through to play Who Dat Boy. Love Who Dat Boy, my dad's favorite song. You cut off my favorite song to play Who Dat Boy? He never does that. And that's why I was so confused. I'm like, this is one of his favorite songs. Why are you cutting it off? Anyways, that pissed me off a little bit. Great performance anyways. I didn't really like his stage setup, but it's fine. I can't rely on him. I saw him and he did great and I was happy about it. Hillbillies comes up. Best set of the night. Best fucking set of the night. Kendrick, Keem come out. Kendrick does his little dance. Keem does his little dance. They do a switch off thing where it's like every three songs, it's a Kendrick song or it's a Keem song. We left, you know, right before they finished up. We missed the best run of songs because we left early, but it's okay. I'll live. I'll see it. I'll see it in a recording somewhere, yeah, probably. I'll live. Got home at like 3 a.m. We left at 11, by the way. We got home at 3 because the Uber pickup station was shit. Literally everyone was waiting there because there were the connection was bad. And it's just they had like people like Ubers funnel into like a parking lot, but it was like a small ass park, like the size of a house parking lot. Houses range in sizes, so that doesn't really help. It was like I'd say like a 50 car parking lot, if that helps you. Funnel into that and then do a loop, pick up your people and then leave. Mm-hmm. But then it's like traffic is all built up because it's in like the fucking back end of wherever the hell. So it was just, there was just so much and there was like no lighting anywhere. So if you're walking down the street, you're in fucking darkness and you get fucking hit. That was day one. Awesome. Day two. Day two. I'm so sorry. I saw a lot of people. I feel like I'm yapping a lot. I'm gonna fucking get through this one. Okay. Day two. I had to go to the sets. I walked in. We got there late because we were trying to recover from the shit show that was day one. We saw Willow, Dominic Fike, Rex Orange County, Earl Sweatshirt, Lil Yachty, Pink Panthers, and that was it. That was it. That was like eight people. It was great. Everyone was great. Rex Orange County, that one meant a lot to me because I really liked him back in 2017, 18, and then finally like seeing him live. And like doing the songs that I was obsessed with when I was little really made like 14-year-old me happy. So it was a nice little full circle moment where it's like, yay, we made it. Willow was fucking amazing. Great performance. My favorite performance of the day. Dominic was okay. I'm gonna leave it at that. Pink Panthers was okay as well. Lil Yachty was good. He brought out Offset, which was really cool. And it was like one of those moments that you usually see online where it's like so and so brought out so and so at Camp Flognon. It was like, oh my god, I was there this time.
I watched it.
Exactly. And then I saw Earl Sweatshirt and I was like, oh my god, he's all grown up. That's a grown ass man. And I've only known of him for like fucking 5 years. So I don't even know why I was babying him, but I was just so happy to see him on stage. So yeah, that was my Camp Flognon. I just fucking, oh my god, it's 7:45 already. we're like an hour in, we haven't fucking talked about music. Blah blah blah. Great. Good. Move on. Let's get to the music. I just saw what time it is. My heart dropped.
We got albums, we got singles, we got EPs. Broadside dropped their new album, Hotel Blue. We chatted with Broadside. It is out right now.
Awesome interview, fucking amazing. We were all sleep deprived. It was silly, it was funny, it was awesome. This album is album of the year potential. When I say album of the year, I mean like top 10 for me. So many catchy hooks, so many catchy just full songs overall, a lot of ass shakers. Every single feature on this record is very memorable. And listening to everything on third, fourth time around, you know, the singles, we gave it multiple listens, really cemented in my head that this is just genuinely like one of my favorite things that they've done ever. It's great. I really like it.
Yeah. This fucking album is incredible. I hate to pick a single as my favorite because I'm always like, well, what if people are like, if I can listen to it? No, I listen to the fucking record. Don't worry. Bang. That was the song that had me, like, the teaser had me the most, like, all right, what the fuck is this band doing?
That's with Joshua, right?
Yeah. And what a catchy fucking song. Mm-hmm. And the whole record's incredible, but that's a song I keep coming back to because, especially, like, just the fact that I was like, I don't know what the hell they're going to do, and I don't think I'm going to like this when I heard the teaser, to hearing the full song and being like, this is incredible. Great fucking song. A great record. You know, we talked about it in the interview a little bit. Definitely a sonic shift from the last one, welcome, to say the least. It's a great fucking record. They're out on tour right now with This Wild Life, Worry Club, and Not My Weekend. Glory and I will be there. Not the same show, different shows, but we will be in attendance.
We will be there. Yeah. I'm so excited to see them live. This album made me like 1,000 times more excited to see them live. Lockett dropped a new album, Superluminal.
Hell yeah.
This was a fucking solid ass record. Genuinely hit after hit. My favorite was You and I. I do have a little nitpick though. Fucking loved this record. Start with that. They did it where they put a soft song in the middle of the record and it fucked up the whole flow. But the thing is, it's not like even they tried to recover from it. They just put all of the soft songs at the end of the record. Which is like, if you had to put them somewhere, I feel like they did it right. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, oh my God. It was like soft song after soft song. And it's like they tried with like, I think it was Funhouse, where they kind of tried to ramp it back up again just for the remaining tracks to be softer.
Yeah.
Even the finale was soft as
very
well.
Very slow.
Soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, usually with like the last tracks, bands, you know, try to go out the bang, you know? But that's my one nitpick. The softest song on the record was my favorite. At least softest. I don't know. It was a soft track.
Yeah.
You and I. Great fucking song. I loved it. But that's my one thing.
Fair enough. Yeah, it definitely slows down once you get to You and I. I thought that the record, you know, obviously Funhouse is one of the more is the more upbeat song on the B side of the record, but I didn't notice a super like nosedive off after You and I with like no shot to recover. Like it definitely got slower, but it didn't bother me as much. And usually I'm the one that's like, the second there's a slow song, I'm like, that's it, I don't like this record
anymore.
Anyway, you know?
Yeah. No, and I liked it. For me, it was such a big shift. Where it was just like, oh my God, we're still going.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I got you. Yeah. No, I enjoyed the record. I thought it was solid. You know, we did speak to the band. It'll be out in the next couple of weeks. You know, I enjoyed the first half of the record because it's a little bit more, you know, upbeat, but still a super solid record.
Absolutely. And what's funny is I preferred the B side.
You prefer side B.
Yeah, like, I preferred it. Side, no, not B side. Yeah, side B. Goddamn. Fucking music industry.
Yeah, six of one, half dozen of the other. Plain White Tees put out a new record. It's their self-titled. So I've been hearing more about the Plain White Tees in the past month. I've thought about this band more in the past month than I have from the time Hey There Delilah popped off until Pollyanna got the tour offer to go on tour with them. So, you know, I already knew the record was coming, but now the record's been at the forefront of my mind because
can't get away from
you know, yeah, I cannot get away from this band. I mean, literally last night I checked the Pollyanna group chat and the front man was posted on Instagram at a local record store, you know, to where he lives, buying Pollyanna's record on vinyl. And I'm like, hey, number one, that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Number two, I can't get away from this fucking band.
Get the fuck away from me, but that's very sweet of you.
I'm like, this is fucking sick. Holy shit. So Ben, very cool. But yeah, I've been thinking about this band so much. And so I've been patiently waiting for this record because I've been revisiting their music. And I did not realize how many hits they had. First of all, they had like three or four songs that I noticed, picked up on from hearing on the radio. You know, listening to the rest of their discography, I've decided that this band writes nothing but hits, honestly.
You did say that. Yeah, I saw you say that.
And this record is no exception. This record is full of fucking hits. Fired Up is a catchy fucking song.
Catchy song, yeah.
I would argue Would You Even is probably the best song on the record because it's so fucking catchy. But this entire record is incredible. They write the upbeat poppy song super well. They write the slow acoustic song super well. Absolutely. And the album flows super well because it's got a mix of both.
For sure. Yeah, I completely agree. This record was amazing. Fired Up is also my favorite. And I know that was a single as I was stalking them when, you know, the Pollyanna tour was announced. Because I was like, oh my God, this
called the Fired Up Tour, man. I'm fired up for the Fired Up Tour.
You're fired up for the Fired Up Tour. I'm going to be fired up for the Fired Up Tour because I'm going to see if I can play my tunes. And it's so fucking catchy. And ever since I heard that, you know, the little clip of it on their Instagram, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good ass album. I did not expect to like it as much as I did because my only impression that I know of, you said that they have a lot more hits, so I probably just never put their name to the song that I would probably know. I only know Hey There Delilah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I know this isn't going to be Hey There Delilah for, you know, fucking 12 tracks. I don't even know how many tracks this is.
There's a lot of songs on
13.
Here.
Yeah. 13 tracks. I was blown away. But honestly, it's... Firstly, all love songs, which is something I haven't heard in a while, where it's just an album where it's literally, I think every single track is love or related to relationship-ish. So it was just kind of like a, oh, okay, someone's happy. Oh, someone's not happy. Oh, wait, what's going on here? Because it's like, it would flip-flop so much. But all very catchy, all very well-written, just well-done songs. There were a couple songs where it was just kind of like, it felt like it was mixed by a different person. Like it, you could, they kind of jumped around from producers because his voice would be kind of higher or lower than in the mix or something. But that's just me nitpicking. All of the tracks were good. I don't have a song where I was getting sick of it or bored of it. I don't think any of them overstayed their welcome. That was great. Well-timed record.
Super solid. On their Spotify, listen, obviously, Hey There Delilah's number one. Listen to Rhythm of Love and 1, 2, 3, 4. Let it get to the chorus on both those songs. If you don't know them, I'll be shocked.
All right.
Depends on how much you listen to the radio, though, in like post Hey There Delilah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't really.
Because 1, 2, 3, 4 was 2008 and Rhythm of Love was 2010. So give them a spin and let me know if you know either of those songs. You don't have to do it right now.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't. I'm gonna let it settle.
Yeah.
Windwalkers dropped a new album. What If I Break? ? Fucking solid record. We spoke to Windwalkers. It's not out yet,
but it will.
And it will be out eventually. Yeah. Keep your eyes open. And it was very, very good talk. Actually, one of my favorites. Actually, I think. Yeah, I remember texting Shane and being like, "What the fuck?" Great record. My favorite is The Overlook. Great song. The first track, not gonna lie, before the interview I listened to it, I was like, Shane, what's happening here? Because it's just, it's so different and it's not at all what I expected. And then I got to the second one and I was like, oh, okay, I really fuck with this. And then the third one and the fourth one. Honestly, it just flowed really well. I have no complaints from this record. Genuinely, once you get past that first track, at least for me, and it's grown on me on my second listen, it's such a fucking good record. And it is definitely the weirdest track off of the album. So yeah, if you could get past that and you have a problem with it, you're gonna fuck with the rest of the record.
Yeah. And you know, we spoke about that a little bit in the interview. Yeah. The thought process behind putting that song first. Obviously, I had a similar feeling to you the first time where I was like, what the fuck? But also, the first time going from not even really knowing what to expect from the band, seeing hype online, knowing the genre that they are, because a lot of metalcore, big metalcore people on Twitter are talking about them. And I'm like, what the hell is this first song? So the switch from the first track into the second track, that first listen, is a feeling that I will not feel with this record ever again. But the whiplash... of the what the fuck, because The Overlook is also my favorite on the record. Good. Because it is so fucking awesome. I mean, the whiplash and the fact that it's just a great fucking song and sets the tone for the rest of the record. But it's a solid fucking record. I mean, you know, all of the hype online is deserved. 100%. You know, I feel as if, at least with metalcore bands, 98% of the time, if I see people talking about them on Twitter, they're good.
Yeah.
Like,
usually.
Yeah. Twitter has not been wrong about metalcore bands. Twitter has been wrong about other bands, and sometimes they like falling in reverse, but.
You're one to talk, aren't you? You're one to fucking talk. Oh, yeah.
But very, very solid record. Definitely check it out if you 100%. Haven't already. Big Time Rush put out a deluxe edition of their record, Another Life. So we weren't fans of the full record because it was like, obviously the comeback has been something. That's for sure.
Definitely, they're back.
Welcome? Who knows? Interesting? For sure.
For sure.
I had liked basically everything up till the point of the album and the single off the record. Glory liked some of it, didn't like others. Because
I like to call it like I see it, and it ended there.
And because Glory's no fun.
I'm no fun. Boo, boo.
But we were both in agreement that this record kind of blew. I personally think that the four deluxe tracks, now one of them was a re-record of a song from the TV show, so it had that nostalgic feeling that you called out in the group chat. Yes. But then the three other songs, I honestly thought were better than most of this record. Like, should have made the record.
Yeah. Oh my god, they could have replaced literally any song on that record and it would have been such a fucking upgrade. My favorite, I don't know, it's still Big Time Rush, so it's a little difficult still. But I did really like the re-recording because it was that big nostalgic feel. And it made me reminisce of Up All Night era One Direction. But honestly, the EP had that vibe still. I don't know. It's like they finally kind of, you know, clicked into their boy band nostalgic sound and they kind of honed into that, where it's like, I don't even know what they were trying to go for in the album. And they lost it completely.
Yeah, on the deluxe tracks, it felt like they were a boy band again. Yeah. And that's what I want when I listen to a boy band. If I want pop music, I'll go listen to a pop artist. When I listen to a boy band, I want a boy band.
And give me the off harmonies. Give me the silly little girl.
And the record was a pop band trying, or a boy band making pop, which obviously that's what it is, but it's like, there's boy band pop and then there's regular pop, and they were a boy band trying to make regular pop, and it wasn't even good regular pop. It was mediocre at best.
At best.
Yeah, which is why the record fell so flat.
What happened to the Spanish EP? Spanglish EP? I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell, guys?
Dropping the ball.
Lots of stuff we're waiting on, but this was a lot better than the record.
For sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Fox Cults dropped a new EP, The Indigo Fault.
We spoke to the band. This is another one of those Twitter was right moments. Twitter was cooking with this one. This EP fucking rocks. It takes you on a fucking journey. And it's just super solid. I think Cliff Jumper is also my favorite.
We talked about that a lot in the interview. We did. Cliff Jumper is also my favorite. It's just a favorite. Yeah. Great EP. I really fucking liked it. I don't really have anything else to say. It was just good.
Yeah.
Good job, Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter's two for two on this week's podcast.
This week. Next week, whole different conversation.
Texas in July dropped a new EP, Without Reason. Pretty fucking good, man.
Pretty good. Heavier than I remembered. I don't know why. In my head, Texas in July is like not as heavy as they were on this. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh, this is good. But yeah. It got me off guard a little bit. But really good EP. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I know this was JT's band before Era, but it's cool to, because, you know, I've listened to Era a bunch, to hear JT in a totally different band, because he is such a great vocalist. So he crushes on this EP. This EP crushes. Guys, bang our line. We're free when you're free. EP's great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Save Face drops new EP, .. Found dead at the crime scene. Save Face, I love you. You are one of my favorite bands. I have a fucking pictures of your performance on my wall behind me. Love this fucking band. Every single song off this EP is great. It's three songs, but it's fucking amazing either way. Kind of, that was a Jiraiya song, wasn't it? The
one that we interviewed them both about?
Yeah.
I'm still not sure whose song that was.
Who the fuck? A Lesson in Dramatics?
Yeah.
Huh. A little confused there. Oh, it's a Safe Face song. Yeah. Because I was listening to it and I was like, where's Jiraiya? And then it's just not on the song. So I guess it was just standalone. I don't know. I don't know what they're going on with that. Point still stands with the Heart Attack Man song. Eric, where the fuck were you? Stop just repeating, give me the gun.
Yeah, he's hidden in there. But that is such an Eric thing to say.
Yeah, but it's like, he needs to fucking scream and yell or whatever. Like, that's also his thing. So that, I feel like that's still just a big missed opportunity. Because I really like Eric's vocals. And I really like Save Face vocals, obviously. Tyler, thumbs up. And also Save Face instrumental. So I was like, this would be such a good collab. And then I saw it, and then I listened to it, and I was like, fuck! Callous Dow Boys is still amazing. And the title track is fucking fantastic. Great EP. I'm happy they dropped something this year, because I would have been very sad if they didn't.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the first two songs on the EP were dropped as singles.
Yep.
Like the first one, like the second one, with glory on the fact that, you know, would have liked Eric to be a little bit more on the song. So the focus track, the EP, the song that dropped with it was the one with Callous Dow Boys. You know, Carson and Tyler together, They make a pretty good mix. Yeah. And I liked that the song got a little weird. You know, when Carson was on it as well, there was a little bit of off tempo going on. I'm like, you know,
got his little hand in this, didn't he?
Yeah, this is, I like this, you know? So I thought it was a solid EP. It's quick. It doesn't last too long. You get in, you get out, and you get what you came for.
For sure. Yeah. Pure Save Face.
Hell yeah. TX2 dropped his new EP, Ghosts of LA. As we said earlier, we spoke to TX2. It is out now. Definitely highly recommend that watch.
Very, very good.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Dude, this EP.
Amazing. Sorry, I was scrolling so I could look at the list again. My favorite, I'm pretty sure I said it in the interview. I wanted to shake his hand through the screen for Black Wedding. One of my favorite songs to come out this year. And I remember listening to The Advance, because obviously we spoke to him way before the EP came out. I think he announced it prematurely, and we were like, what the fuck?
That was good. That was one of the choice clips, because I couldn't pick one.
Dude, because Shane had to take care of promo, because I was fucking in LA, and he sent like four different clips to the show. I was like, wow, we got a selection.
And Glenn didn't even
today.
Watch them. She just goes, wow, a selection today. And I responded like, yeah, I couldn't decide. And she just didn't respond. She just started talking in the group chat and said, I'm like, fine, I'll just pick one, whatever. It's fine.
Just put my opinion on it. Fuck, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh my God. Black Wedding, fucking amazing. I really liked Sex Sells Hard. Walking Dead Man, I'm just going to name all the tracks. Genuinely, they're all fucking earworms. They're all catchy. I like his voice. It has kind of like that vibe where you listen to it and you're like, you seem like you're going to cement yourself in the scene. And it's kind of just that, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, you know, when you hear a voice, you're like, that sounds like you're going to be big. That sounds like I'm not going to be able to get the fuck away from you for a while, and you're going to be in history because you're just in the scene like that. I love it. Catchy shit. Love the EP. Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Yeah, this EP is fucking solid. I mean, every single song on here is a hit. Every single song is super catchy. You know, the end of the EP with MIA Ghost and 6 seconds left kind of trailing off, but there is, you know, a concept to the EP that we dive into a little bit in the interview. So, you know, the end of the EP, it's fitting that it's on the slower side.
For sure.
So
it makes sense.
You know, I love when EPs aren't just collections of songs, but actually have something,
a little story,
you know, built around it. It doesn't have to be super fucking elaborate, but when there's intention behind the fact that it's an EP and not just we had singles and we put them together in a package, I do like that. I've been listening to Degrade Me a lot because it comes on after Heaven Was Full, and I've just kind of been playing that song in the loop, and then Degrade Me starts, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll listen to that one too, and then I put on Was Full again, and then Degrade Me plays again, so it's just kind of been this endless loop. It's kind of just been this endless loop. Well, I don't intend to listen to the song multiple times, but then it just scratches something right in my brain, dude. I don't know.
So now you get it. Yeah. You understand.
So I've been listening to that a lot. But yeah, the EP is fucking solid. Absolutely. Highly recommend checking out the interview. Highly recommend checking out the EP. And hell yeah, man.
For sure.
Hell and yeah. Seeing him live, that fucking changed everything for
me. Stop rubbing it in. Stop fucking rubbing
well,
it
you
in.
Had, he played in Virginia, bro.
He hasn't played yet. Oh, shit. No, I was in fucking LA. Shit. Ah. He said he was going to reschedule the entire tour for me, and there goes that.
Yeah, so, God damn it.
Fuck you, I guess. I don't know. Bad Sons dropped a new EP, Infinite Joy. This EP was solid. I feel like I need to listen to it a couple more times for it to kind of fully set in process, because when I finished listening to it, I was like, oh, that's it. Okay. It didn't leave as much of an impact as I feel like a couple more of these records have, on this playlist, just off one listen, or well, for some of them, two listens. I still thought it was solid. Still thought it flowed well. My personal favorite after just one listen is Everything Is. I did enjoy that one. And it stood out. I don't know why, but it did. I liked it.
EP was good. Dreamy Bad Sons vibe that I, signed up for. Very solid. I enjoyed all six songs off of it. The song Astral Plans, I'm fucking with that one. But enjoy the whole EP. Jonas Brothers and Bailey Zimmerman dropped a terrible song, Strong Enough. Wish I didn't listen to this. This is Jonas Brothers trying to be big boys. They've been trying it and it keeps failing, and I think that they should just write pop punk again.
Yeah guys, I think it's time to go back to your roots.
Yeah, this song was probably one of the worst since like this, because the first comeback they were kind of like they were trying the super mature route. They came back in 2013 with two songs, and it was so not well received that they went back into hibernation and scrapped the full record that they had.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And you can buy the record because they did like a vinyl club where they pressed all their albums on vinyl, a bunch of 7 inches and shit. And that's the only way that you can hear that record is if you buy the vinyl.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So this kind of felt reminiscent of that because it was like they were out of the limelight for a couple years doing like basically Disney music. They had a show on Disney and shit. They were very, very much affiliated with that. And they tried to stray so far away from that, that it was like too much of a change. And then, you know, they had another 7 years, 6 years where they took off, they came back and they landed somewhere in the middle. You know, the music has been hit or miss. This one felt like it would have belonged in 2013 when they were like, we're men. And we sing about sex and drinking, you know, like
guys, go
no, you don't. Go write pop punk songs about a girl. I don't know.
Exactly. Come on, guys. Yeah, no, this was shit. Yeah, I didn't like this at all. I was worried when it was put on there. I was like, oh, Jonas Brothers, okay. And I listened to it. I was like, oh, fuck, Shane's gonna love this. Thank God you didn't. Oh, I was so scared to shit all over. I mean, I still would have, but there would have been tension.
One of us loving a song or an album does not stop the other person from absolutely annihilating it if the other person didn't like it. Let's be completely honest here. I've probably almost put you into tears a couple of times because you were like, my favorite artist ever put out a new record. I'm like, yeah. Well, it's my top number one disappointment of this year and next year.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, I've learned it's so fun. It's so fucking fun. Me with the fucking Slipknot record. It was okay. Was that this year?
No, it was last year.
Oh, thank fuck.
So I listened to that on the way home from seeing Panic at the Disco. I listened to it for the first time ever driving home from the Panic at Disco show.
That is a crazy
on the Friday
lineup.
It dropped.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm sure that was a fucking palate cleanser right there. Ooh, because it was just such a good album. Stan Atlantic dropped a new single, Sex on the Beach. Amazing, Stan Atlantic. I love you. This song is such a fucking ripper. That I took your word this time. Great track. Loved it.
Yeah, they keep evolving. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for it. There has not been a single miss since Pink Elephant.
And it was just that one,
just
that one track.
Just that one track. Yeah. There was a miss there, but that record we'll say was not a miss because that was pretty high up on the album of the year list for me.
That was like your album of the year.
Album of the year, yes, but the Bring Me the Horizon EP nudged it out. You know, we were supposed to get a record like 6 months after that, and we're still waiting on part two. Yeah, still waiting. Love that for them. But yeah, this track is awesome. They're the one band that can do whatever the fuck they want, and I'm not nervous going into it. Like, there are bands where they do whatever the hell they want, and it's like a toss up. This is the band where I'm just like, I know.
I trust you.
They got it. They got it in the bag. Yeah. Megan Thee Stallion and Spirit Box put out a remix of Cobra. This got released when I was at the TX2 show, so I had no idea what everybody was talking about, and you sent it to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because it was just a surprise drop. Nobody knew that this was coming.
No, they just dropped it. There was no announcement, no hey in an hour. Yeah. It was just like,
yeah, this is not the crossover I thought we were going to get this year, but a welcome one at that, because it's super awesome to see a band like Spirit Box crossing over into the rap world.
And rap crossing over.
And rap into crossing over into metal. Yeah. But yeah, it's been fucking, yeah.
We get
rap rock bands, which is just Limp
Bizkit.
but we've never had a rapper
and metal.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had rap rock bands having rappers on their records.
Yeah, but Spearbox doesn't rap.
Yeah.
So listen, last I checked, they don't. I don't think I've heard Courtney.
Basically, what we're getting at is if this has happened before, it doesn't happen every day. So, to see, you know, obviously I'm paying more so attention to like what is happening with Spirit Box. Yeah. But you definitely make up a good point with the crossover, because then you sent me that video of Courtney talking about just all the crossover and everything and seeing the fans interacting and all that shit. And it's just been, that was unexpected, and it rocks, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's fucking incredible. It took a couple listens because, for me personally, because I was like, okay, I mean, I fucking love Cobra, like the original song. I love Megan Thee Stallion. She's one of my favorite rappers, artists ever. So it took a little like, huh, okay, because it's kind of like one of those, first listen to me, it sounded kind of like one of those fan edits where it's like they take the vocals and they separate it and then they add like something completely different behind it. So it took a second for me to kind of like process it and listen and be like, oh, okay, this is good. Because it's just different hearing Megan's rap over metal. Mm-hmm. But after, on second listen, it was a very quick, you know, turnaround. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. This is so fucking good. Courtney sounds amazing. Everything just about this remix is just fucking crazy. And I'm so happy that this overlap is happening. And is, at least from what I've seen, being mainly received well. Obviously, there are going to be fucking people gatekeeping on both sides. But it's just more so on the metal side I've seen. But
yeah, I don't know. But all things considered, it's been a pretty positive response, which is definitely a step in the right direction. I mean, I think that in the grand scheme of things, these are two artists that make sense for this, that don't have like super fucking vile fan bases.
Yeah, Megan has like one of the best rap fan bases.
Exactly.
Out there.
So like she's got a very good rap fan base. Mm-hmm. Spirit Box has a pretty, all things considered, for how big they are, has a pretty good metal fan base. You know, obviously you got the snobs in there, but that's every band ever.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's just metal in general.
Yeah, that's just metal. So, you know, to see everybody accepting it so well has been awesome. And you know, as I said, two people that it like makes sense. Like those are two people that make sense somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, it works.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Have Mercy dropped a new single, Middle. I thought this was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, stoked for the record. I was gonna say and then I stopped myself. We spoke to the band about the record. It'll be out closer to the album. Yeah. That's why Gloria and I stopped and looked at each other, because who's gonna say it?
Exactly. I wanted you to say it because we were talking about it earlier. So I was like, I'm gonna, but then you looked at me and I was like,
nope. Four Years Strong dropped a new single, Dead End Friend. Hoping that this is the start of a new album cycle. I love this band. It has been so long since Brain Pain. Song rips.
Absolutely. I really liked this track, and I'm also hoping for something bigger.
Oh, yeah.
The Ghost Inside dropped a new single, Death Grip. Yeah, I thought this was good.
Yeah, a little bit heavier than their... Well, I mean, I'd say it was about the same heavy, but it was a little bit more... a little bit closer to, like... what they were known for, but they are definitely taking a more so metalcore approach to this than hardcore. I haven't seen too many people talking about this song, but I know Earn It, I love that song, but I know there was a lot of because they're more of a hardcore band and now they're making metalcore. This song was a little less straight up like Octane Core, whereas Earn It was like chugging guitar, big chorus, Octane, boom. You know, this one was a little bit more a little less like that. So but yeah, I liked it, and I knew the response for Earn It was so bad because I was the only one singing it when I saw them live.
That hurts.
Everyone else around me was like, what are you into right now? Between You and Me dropped new single, it's fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I love this track. I love Between You and Me. Awesome band, awesome people, awesome
big
music.
Ass shaking bops over there.
A lot of ass shaking with their music. Really like this track. Yeah. Well done, guys.
I do love when Windows sends a notification in the middle of a podcast. So that was what that big sound was. Because it did show up in the recording.
God damn. So watch the recording to see what notification Shane got. New Year's Day dropped a new single, Secrets. That's so fucking alert. It's so...
I should probably put my computer on Do Not Disturb, but I don't know why I don't know why the Xbox app has started sending me notifications all of a sudden.
It knows.
Yeah. Well, it might have something to do with everything going on behind me and the original Xbox sitting next to me. So anyways, New Year's Day, new track. They announced a new record with this. Comes out March 1st. Very fucking stoked about that. It has been so long since we've, you know, 2019. And, you know, we spoke to them in 2020 about the 2019 record, which is crazy, by the way.
I did an all-nighter for fuck you, One Direction.
But this song is solid. I'm personally stoked for the new record.
For sure. I loved this track. I thought it was crazy. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. And I'm also very excited for their record. It should be good.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Oakes dropped a new single, I'm Here.
It's a fucking banger. Yeah, man. I am here.
I am here. I'm here for this.
Damn!
I cooked that one up.
That was brilliant, man. Whatever the fucking live leak chef guy.
I fucking love that. I think
about him all the time. Yeah. I think he really do. That's him. That's you. When I think of you, that's what I fucking think of. That fucking gif of the chef guy. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, the new track is great. You know, stoked for what's coming. You know, he said that there's a lot of singles dropping, new project, a lot of singles dropping. Very stoked.
For sure. Hell yeah. Charlotte Sands dropped a new single, Pity. This was a great track. I love Charlotte Sands. Charlotte Sands, you're awesome. Your music's great, and I really like this track.
Hell yeah. New song's a banger. Stoked for the new record, comes out at the top of the year.
Yep.
Hell yeah, man. Better Lovers dropped their new single, Two Alive Amongst the Dead. Didn't think we were going to be getting more Better Lovers this year. I figured the EP would be it. But new track bangs.
Yeah.
Stoked to see what this may or may not become.
For sure. Hell yeah. I also really liked it. And I also did not expect new tracks because they literally just dropped. But it's okay. I'm fucking happy regardless. And for our last point, IC Stars dropped a new single, Damage Done, but the first A in Damage is a 4. I thought this track was great, and now I completely, fully understand why everyone was fucking shitting their pants when they came back, because this was really good.
Yeah, the song's solid. I still, you know, it's not quite what they were doing before, so a lot of people are like, when will IC Stars be good? And it's like, they are good. These singles have been pretty awesome so far.
Deal with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Shut up.
Yeah.
Damn.
Get over it, guys.
But that is all the topics we have today. You can follow us on Twitter. It's @GoodNoise_cast. Instagram is @GoodNoisePodcast. Facebook is @GoodNoisePod. YouTube is @GoodNoisePodcast. Bandcamp is goodnoiserecords.bandcamp.com. Patreon is patreon.com/goodnoisepodcast. Glory's got your Patreon supporters, Twitch subs, and your important plugs. And then we're going to sign off.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters, my brother and my uncle, Matt from Pulses, Jeremy, Brady, Zari, and Eric. And thank you to our Twitch subs, Coaster Lover, Buzz Lightyear, and Matt, again from Pulses. Thank you, Matt. Sam and Zari. Thank you again, Zari. Thank you to everyone who supports us.
Thank
we
you, everybody.
Appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Important plugs. Black Lives Matter. Stop Asian Hate. Free Palestine. Fuck, be a decent person. And to treat bands with respect if they deserve it. If it's a bad band, fuck them. But like, if it's a good band, treat them with respect.
Oh yeah. Well, that's all we have today. I've been Shane.
I've been Glory.
And we have been the Good Noise Podcast. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye.